over your Bibles right now to 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. We're so glad for everyone that's here tonight. We also want to take a moment to thank God for Brother David Gorham. He had surgery on Tuesday, open heart surgery. And I walked into his room on Friday evening, and he didn't look like he had had surgery. He was talking and just doing fine. As a matter of fact, the doctor was flirting with letting him go home that quickly. And if you know anything about open heart surgery, it's just not usually that way. But we're so grateful to the Lord because he is doing so well. Now, is he out of the hospital, Sister Pam? Yes, Sister Mary. Yes, he is out of the hospital, and he will be recuperating with friends in Muncie. I know he was flirting with the possibility of being here tonight, but I think his friends were saying, David, you've got to slow down a little bit and use some good sense. You feel great, but you have been through a very serious operation. So anyway, we're so glad that Brother David is doing so well. Thank God for that. Thank God for his healing power in the church. And keep on believing, because I'll tell you what, that's not the last time Jesus has ever healed anybody. A few miracles the Lord's done around here the last couple of weeks. It's not the last miracle we're going to see in this church. God's going to keep on doing it until the rapture happens. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorrowed for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." You may be seated. I love this particular passage of Scripture because it talks about an individual that had an encounter with God and was never again the same. Now, I would like for you to really be with me tonight, because I have come to this service convinced that somebody can leave this service tonight different than you came, and you will never be the same. This great verse of Scripture, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy, and you will be turned into another man. Let me preach to you for just a few minutes tonight on a life-changing experience. One thing you're going to notice is that you can have a life-changing experience when maybe nobody around you is having it. Because this is something that happens between you and God. The Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul of Tarsus at the time, was on his road to Damascus to persecute Christians. And no one had had this experience except Saul. Saul was smitten to the ground by a light brighter than the noonday sun. A voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks," and you know the story very well. Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And that was a life-changing experience. It took the most zealous persecutor of the church and turned him into the most zealous propagator for the church. Now, is that life-changing or what? It took the church's worst enemy and made that man the church's best spokesperson. And he wrote more books in the Bible than any other individual. And it all happened because he had an experience. I have become convinced that you can have ever so much head knowledge, but you will never really know God as God wants you to know Him until you have a life-changing experience. I want to say to all of us here tonight that this is available for every person in this building. Not only is it available, but it's God's will for you. God has a life-changing experience for you. And I believe you can have it tonight. Now, the next 20 minutes, I'm going to try to convince you. And I'm going to try to inspire you to know that God is in the life-changing business. Now, what happened to Saul? All I can tell you is the Spirit of God came on him. And he yielded to it. And during that experience, there was something in him fundamentally that changed. Have you ever felt like you needed a fundamental something inside of you changed? Have you ever had that kind of feeling? "Lord, I know you're trying to do something with me. I know you want to do something with me. But I need something to switch inside of me. I need something down inside of me to undergo a fundamental change." Now, the Bible is absolutely full of these experiences. You can talk about Moses. Moses had a call upon his life. He was chosen by God. But until he was out in that Midian desert, and that bush came on fire, he was not the Moses that he needed to be. But when that bush, I got bushes around here, I can preach about this. Now, I didn't think to get some kerosene, a bunch of stuff ahead of time, so you'll just have to use your imagination. But Moses is out there in that desert, the wilderness. And you gotta understand, this thing's been happening for 40 years now. He's been out there for 40 years living a pretty normal life. You know, most of us are disgustingly normal. We sort of punch the clock, and we eat breakfast, dinner, and supper, and sometimes midnight snack. And we live a pretty normal life. Moses, it looked like he was going to be something else, but then all of a sudden things went wrong, and things leveled out and became very humdrum for a while. But even when you're living the humdrum, God knows who you are. I believe God washed Moses every day. Now, we don't have much detail. All we know is he went down there and found a wife and had a couple of kids, which millions of people do. But he was living a pretty normal life. And he was watching sheep. Wasn't too high tech. He was a shepherd. He's just out there watching those sheep for 40. Oh, I would hate to watch sheep for 40 years. God deliver me from that. Well, I've done it for 30 years. I hadn't thought about that. And this day, I don't know whether Moses had a feeling of imminent change in his life. I don't know what happened. All I know is he's walking along and the bush starts burning. I mean, that bush is just sitting there just crackling and popping and smoking. And he looks at that and says, well, it got too hot, didn't it? And he just messed around there for a little bit and got that one sheep that's always getting out of line. Had to get it back. And you know, you got some sheep, they just sort of stay in line. Some people are all the time around the edge. So you got to break their legs and smack them and get back in here. I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about sheep. And so the bush is burning, and he goes takes it, and he looks around. Man, the thing just sit there just burning. He says, oh, wait a minute, something different here. And so he said, I will turn aside and see the sight. Now, I will tell you this. You'll never have a spiritual experience. It'll change your life until you turn aside. You're probably not going to get it as you rush through McDonald's drive-thru. It's probably not what's going to happen. It's probably not going to happen while you're in the heat of your Christmas shopping. It's going to happen someday when you take time to turn aside. An old song says, shut in with God. Secret places. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this place. I love to be shut in with God. I suppose that's harder to do right now than ever in the history of the world. I mean, we live in the day, you miss one pound of revolving door and your schedule's behind for 3 weeks. I mean, everything's, we're cranking our way. But I don't think God is going to adapt to our palm pilots. I believe that if we're going to have that life-changing experience, we're going to have to turn aside. The Bible says, that Moses turned aside, and that's when God will speak to you. If you turn aside, He'll speak to you. He turned aside, and God said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. I said, one day I'd want to have loafers on. I'm going to get those things off as fast as I can. Moses grabs his shoes and pulls them off. And he's watching this thing. Now, I'm preaching tonight about something that can happen to you. This is not, I'm not just preaching about the high and the mighty and the exceptional. I am telling you that God has a spiritual experience for every single person in this building. And I'm telling you that these are the things that can change your life and take you out of those deep ruts that you run in and suddenly set you on a new path and bring new light to your life. Moses, what do you got in your hand? Just an old shepherd's staff. He probably found a piece of limb. He sort of liked the way that one was shaped and he sort of carved it down. Got all the rough bark off of it. He just used it to tap on the sheep. And when it was time to count them in the evening, one of the folks, he'd hold that down. It was easy to count because they had to jump over the staff. And so all he had to do was every time one counted, one, two, three, he'd hold that thing.
got it.
Yes, Dick. God didn't say that all. All he said was, throw it down. Threw that stick down. And it became a snake. Give me that crutch. Anybody want to see me turn this into a snake? You don't need to ask him because he'll come right back to you. You're going to be gone. He threw that thing down and it became a snake. I'll tell you what. You want to see the young lady shout? Just turn that thing loose. They're going to be climbing fuses. So it turns into a snake and Moses backs off. That little sidewinder is just making patterns through the sand. God says, go pick it up. Okay, this is test number three. It's a lot easier to throw the stick down and it's pick the snake up. He's got his shoes off. He's thrown the stick down. Now God's going to say, I'm going to take you to another level. Because you're never going to stand before Pharaoh unless you know how to pick up that snake when I tell you. If you can't trust me to pick up that snake, you're sure not going to stand before Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Because let me tell you, when you have a spiritual experience, God will take you through school. So Moses reached down there, and I'd say his heart was a little bit in his throat, and he grabs that thing by the tail and, ow! Stick. Oh, man, I love my staff. Oh, this is the greatest stick in the world. I mean, he was so relieved when that thing turned back into a stick. What are you doing, Moses? I've had an experience with God here. Stick your hand in your clothes. Stick my hand. Pull it out. God, what'd you do that for? You turned me into a leper. Moses, if I can turn a serpent back into a stick, I can turn your hand back to normal. Because you're never going to do anything with me until you know how to function in the supernatural. Let me tell you, this church is not going to fulfill its mission on a natural plane. And the church of God on this earth is never going to do what it must do on a natural plane. We've got to know how to believe what we cannot see. What am I going to do? But God says, just put it back in there. Puts it back in, pulls it out, brings it. All right. Now, I'm talking tonight about God has a spiritual experience for you. Now, I could be preaching the whole world tonight because God wants to give every person on earth a spiritual experience. But most of them will never get it. It doesn't happen to the majority. I'm going to tell you in a little bit why it happens to some, why it doesn't happen to others. But let me tilt you a little bit further. You know the story well. Jacob's life was not going right. Did you ever feel that way? Things aren't clicking. My dreams aren't coming to pass. Things aren't going right. And Jacob's life was not going right. He had some successes. He got the birthright. He got the blessing. And then he goes down there and he was supposed to marry Rachel, but he got Leah. You know, connivers tend to attract connivers. Cheats. You know, the easiest person to sell is the salesman. you hate to think it, but if you're a salesperson, you're easy to sell. And Jacob, he was a cheat and a conniver. And I mean, he could make a deal with you that was so good you couldn't resist it. When he walked away, he had your money in his pocket. Let me tell you, someday in your life, God will send your match to you. You may be smart, but God will send somebody smarter. You may be slick, and God will send somebody slicker. But one of these days, He's going to bring you to the end of yourself. There's something about it. We've got to come to the end of ourselves before we'll go to the next level. And that's where Jacob was. He couldn't stand up with this anymore. I mean, he went down to Laban and he worked 7 years for that beautiful daughter of Laban. And I don't know, they did things weird in those days. He didn't see who he married until the next morning after the honeymoon. I mean, they went in the tent in total darkness. When the sun came up the next day, he looked at his bride, expected to see that gorgeous Rachel, and the Bible said he got weak-eyed Leah. I don't know what weak eyes look like, but it must not have been too good. He went flying out of that tent to find his father-in-law and said, "What have you done to me?" "Sorry. We got a custom here. You got to marry the oldest one first." Man, Jacob had rooked so many people in his life. He knew what it was like to be rooked. And he knew he was had, and there was not a thing he could do about it. He said, "One after the other one." Well, if we died right, Leah's worth 7 years, I'm sure Rachel's worth 7 years. Jacob said, "Where's the plow?" He went through all that in his life. You've been through disappointments in your life. You thought you were just about to the goal, and you look up and it's as far away as it was 7 years ago. You've been through that. Why did that happen to you? Oh, God knows what you need. You don't know what you need, but He knows exactly what you need. He knows how much trial. He knows how much sunshine. He knows how much rain. He knows how much adversity. He knows how much pressure. He knows exactly what you need. And He's the master chef. He's putting a dash of salt in here and a little flour in here. Needs a little more milk. And He's... But don't you hate that? To think that everything you're going through right now is what you need? But it's the truth. Because all things work together for good. To them that love God. So now then, Jacob gets Rachel, and then he starts making good money, and he ends up wealthy, and guess what? Still empty. Because the only thing that could satisfy him was the one thing he didn't have. Everybody looked at him and said, "You're a success. Look at all your cattle. Look at all your kids. Look at your family." But a lot of times he was empty. And finally, he had that horrible thing. He had that brother that he had ripped out of his birthright. And that was eating on him and been eating on him for 20 years. And he said, I gotta get this junk out of me. I gotta get this junk out of my heart. I gotta go back and fix my brother, straighten my life out. So let me tell you, you think you're gonna shortcut God, you're not shortcutting anybody except yourself. Because God will bring you around. You come to Kadesh Barnea and don't go in the promised land, He'll march you for 40 years in the wilderness. And when you get back, you'll be right back where you started. Because God don't let you skip paces. If you don't pass that pace, you take it all over again. And God can put you through the paces too, I promise you. So now then, here Jacob is. I can't live with myself. I gotta get right with my brother. back from his homeland. Esau's waiting. The last time he saw Esau, Esau wanted to kill him. Esau had vowed I'll kill him. He stole my birthright. He stole my blessing. I'll kill him. Jacob's like a revelation. However, the night before he met his brother the next morning, he realized, this is the crisis of my life. I may not live tomorrow. And so he said, wives, children, cattle, sheep, go on across the brook. I have to turn aside. And the Bible says, and Jacob was alone. What a horrible place to be. What a wonderful place to be. See, I'm so lonely. That's a formula for a spiritual experience that will change your life forever. Oh, I feel so lonely right now, but a pastor shut in with God in a secret place. It's a formula for spiritual experience. And Jacob was alone. And from the depth of his soul, he cried out to God. It was in the middle of the night. And he cried out to God. And sometime during that night, the Bible says, an angel came. And an angel began to wrestle with Jacob. Jacob, you're such a strong-willed person. I gotta get that out of you. I gotta wrestle with you. I gotta taunt you. I gotta work on you. I'm gonna have to inflict some pain on you. Until all that strong-willedness is out of you. You know the story. You wrestled all night, and it was getting close to the breaking of the day, and the angel said, let me go. You know, isn't it something God sometimes will say, let me go, and he doesn't want you to let go? If the angel wanted Jacob to let go, he would never show up. The angel didn't want Jacob to let go. But if Jacob was willing to let go, the angel would rest. Because God's looking for something in people. What's he looking for in us? The ones that he's going to visit with his presence. That he's going to give a life-changing experience. He's looking for that something that says, I'll not let go. I'll not let go. I'll never stop seeking. I'm going to seek until I find. I'm going to knock until it's open. I'm going to ask until I receive. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back next week. I just cannot leave you alone. Because I know that you told me I can have it. And I'm going to have it. So, the angel said, let go, and Jacob said, I won't let you go. He wrestled and he wrestled. Finally, the angel reached out and smote him on the hip and threw his hip out of joint. And now Jacob is hanging on. And he's wrestling and he's hanging on. He's wrestling. That's a great day. You gotta let me go. So we travel by here. We're beside a road. They can't see me. Jesus says, I'm not letting you go. Until you touch me in such a way that I will be fundamentally changed. Until something snaps in me so I can be what I know I'm always supposed to have been. Until that happens, I'm not turning you loose. I'm not letting you go. He said, all right. All right. You pass. Tell you what. What's your name? Jacob. Not a good name. It means supplanter. It means taking people's place. It means shooting people. We'll change that nature about you. Your name is going to be called Israel. You ever heard that name? It was a life-changing experience. And life-changing experience produces world-changing people. angel to Israel. For as a prince, thou hast prevailed with men, and now you've prevailed with God. I like to see people who excel in everything they do, because I know that's a potential prevailer with God. People who prevail with men, some people never get beyond that step. But if you have been one that has prevailed with men, I'm urging you tonight to go to the next level and prevail with God. Your name's no longer going to be Jacob. You're going to be Israel. You're not going to be quite as cute as this night. You're going to walk with a limp. But that won't matter. Because you're not going to rule by your physical ability anymore. Not because you're smarter than the average guy. You're going to have an aura about you. You're going to have something about you that the average person does not have. And people aren't going to be able to put their finger on it, but they're going to follow you because of it. And Israel walked out the next morning, met his brother Esau without fear, because he knew God would make him a promise and he'd take him away the next day. Esau fell on his neck and hugged him and said, I love you, brother. Isn't it amazing how when we get right with God, we get right with our brother? Something about it. It just happens that way. Well, I can go on and on. I can tell you about the woman with the issue of blood. She touched me with his garment. I can talk to you about Bartimaeus. Everybody said, be quiet, he don't have time for you. And he screamed all the more. When you start drawing near to God, some people are going to tell you, you're wasting your time. You're not going to get what you wanted. But Scripture says, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Ask and you shall receive. For everyone that seeketh findeth. Everyone that knocketh at him it is open. Everyone that asketh receiveth. I would say to every young person in this church that there's a spiritual experience God has for you. It's your got your name on it. It'll take you and it'll set you apart. It'll destine you for eternal things in God's kingdom. And I hope that my greatest experiences are yet to come. I need them so bad. You know, when you look back on life and you say, why does this happen? I'll never forget. I'll never forget that night I received the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget it. 13 years of age. And it was an experience that changed my life. The Holy Ghost will change your life. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you remember that night as well as I did. And I remember that night when I first realized I was speaking with other tongues. And the Spirit of God came in us. Never been the same since that night. However, I haven't been able to walk this walk on that experience. 2 or 3 years passed, went to a youth camp. I'll never forget, weeping my eyes out at the youth camp. Brother Timmy was preaching. He wrung my heart out night after night. I found myself at the end of the altar all alone, weeping and crying. And I couldn't quit crying. I remember going to my room in the dorm where we were staying. It was Harper City, Indiana. And I would shut the door. I don't know how I got a room by myself, but I had one. I don't remember how that happened. But I was in a room by myself, and I'd get out of my bed after it was over that night, and I'd pray and say, God, 15-year-old kid, something was happening in my my life. And then Brother Verbal Bean came and preached such a marvelous revival at the age of 16. In 10 weeks, I hung on every word that man of God preached. He touched my heart, and God touched me. I had experiences that happened to me in that time. I remember I was wrestling with decisions in my life. Will I go to engineering school? What will I do? And I didn't know what to do except God whispered in my heart and said, no, no, that's not the way you go. Just walk with me. I skipped one thing. I cannot remember. I cannot forget. Even though I'm 58 years of age, this happened when I was about 16. And that's that all-night prayer meeting. I'll never forget it. All night, started about 11 at night, happened until about 6 in the morning. All night long, we sleep here. It was a hard prayer meeting the first 3 hours. It was a hard prayer meeting. But sometime during that night, I can't tell you why it happened, how it happened, but sometime during that night, I found myself talking in tongues. And for the next 2, 3, or 4 hours, I was lost in His presence. And before I left there, I tried to say something to someone, and I couldn't. I just started talking in tongues and things. And that didn't seem like much, but I never forgot that. No matter, here I am, 58 years of age tonight. I do remember that experience when I was a 16-year-old kid. And things went on. I'm just telling you, you don't have to be 40 to have an experience with God. Samuel had an incredible experience with God when he was 12 years of age. Let me tell you, young folks, this world will offer you a bunch of cheap junk. Don't be sucked in by that. They can give you physical experiences, but they can't give you what I'm talking about right now. And so, as things went on, and I never forget, God got to be with me. I was only 19 years of age. You should never get married when you're 19, but I did it. I had a girl pressuring me, but anyway, I got married. I was 2 months away from being 20. It was young, well, it was the right thing to do, but it's really young. I got married, and I loved being married. I married this knockout girl, and she's wonderful, and I loved her. Here I am married 2 months and God is eating me up with this call to go preach. And here I am still on my honeymoon and yet I got this something churning inside of me. Time for you to quit your job. Time for you to go evangelize. And so here I am torn between enjoying being married and my new wife. And yet I've got this burden eating at my insides. And I said, okay, God. One revival, I'll quit my job. I mean, this guy from Bluffton, Indiana, I never preached for him in my life. Sort of knew him, but not much. I get a call, he has to come for revival. I walk in the church company in North America where I was working as an internal auditor, and I said, 2 weeks, I know God. And they'd been training me to be over a whole department and stuff, and I suppose we had a big career there or something. And I said, I'm called to preach. My supervisor looked at me and said, well, you have a great future here, but what your experience is more important. And never forget, just a 19-year-old kid walked out of there. We had about 4 pieces of furniture. We put it up in a little old room, and we got our little old 61 Rand American. And it's north about 60 miles of Boston, Indiana. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. All I knew I was doing praying fast. And I prayed desperately every day for the sermon to preach that night. But I went one day at a time, I promise you. And but I'll never forget it. God blessed us and God helped us. For the next 8 years, we did that. And I never know what I was going to make from 1 week to the next since that time. I don't ever have a clue. And but God's always provided. But I'll never forget the day. We were down in Louisiana, and I heard there were big preachers and big churches down there, and I got invited down there. And I thought I had certainly had the big time, but they were in the middle of the IMF was right there, and they were all involved in that, and they were ready to split the organization and everything else, and I'm in the middle of that as a young kid, not knowing my right hand from my left, not knowing what in the world I was doing. And in the middle of all that, I'm studying the Bible. And I'll never forget the day. I'm reading Daniel 7. That's like somebody just pulled the blinders off of my eyes. And I said, well, right there's the United States. Right there's Great Britain. Right there is Russia. And I went running home to my trailer, which was parked over by the church. Hey, look what I found in the Bible today. Now, I don't know. God's going to deal with you different than he dealt with me. All I'm telling you is that there is a spiritual experience. During that 8 years of evangelizing, I sort of set a standard for myself. I tried to pray 3 hours a day because I just was so needy and I needed it so bad. And there were times that I would pray until I knew God told me what to say that night. And I'd get up and say some of the most... I didn't know why they work. I didn't know the theories behind them. I didn't know why it works. All I knew was God put it in my heart. I'd get up and say it and work. And I'd go home and I was just thankful. Because I didn't know why it worked. I was strictly operating on radar. Now, let me see if I can draw this to a conclusion tonight, because I'm telling you, there are people sitting here right now, you have gone as far as you can go without what I'm preaching about tonight. If you do not get in his presence until you get a glimpse of him as he is, you may veer off and go the wrong way. But if you can be there. Have you ever been there until you couldn't quit weeping? I've been in his presence until I couldn't stop weeping. It was like he was right there. Oh God, I'm a kid. I have no right to be in your presence like this. But oh, it was so clean. In his presence, I wanted to be so pure, and I wanted to take everything out of me, every wrinkle in my personality, every critical spirit, I wanted it out of me. I wanted to be like him as much as I could be. What a place. I don't go there nearly often enough. Saul, you're going to have an experience that will change you forever. It'll soften your heart, take the rough edges off your personality, cause you not to be nearly as judgmental, cause you to love people. There's an experience.